Beautiful feet. Isaiah 52, 7 to 10 is our text this morning. Merry Christmas again. It's Christmas Day. As I said before, we're not often here at church on Christmas Day. We usually have our Christmas Eve service, and then we're usually back again for the first Sunday after Christmas. But this year, Christmas is on a Sunday, and so we're gathered here on Christmas Day. Our text today talks about good news. Does anybody ever feel like they need some good news? Maybe quite often you have felt like you need some good news. We like good news, don't we? If somebody says, I've got good news and I've got bad news, you might say, well, just give me the good news and then ignorance is bliss for the rest of it, right? We like the good news. Thinking about good news in our text today, you know, often as we get to a text, I'll give a little bit of an introduction to the text, a little bit of background information, something to be looking for in the text as we get to it. But today I'm going to do something just a little bit different. I want to read our text and then take a little bit of time getting into what's behind the text and explore that a little bit, and then read it again, the full thing at the end. And so that's what we're going to do. Our text is Isaiah 52, 7 to 10. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning, as you are able. Isaiah 52, 7 to 10, reading in Jesus' name. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Father, thank you for this word to us this morning and the good news that we think about on Christmas morning. And as we consider the words of Isaiah spoken to the people, and as they speak to us today, today also, guide our hearts and our minds to hear your word to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, we've got some names in our text this morning that we might be familiar with, but it would maybe be good to just take a look and define them just for a moment. Jerusalem was a city, and in the Bible it represents the capital of the nation of Israel, where the king of God's people was situated. That was his throne, was there. So then the meaning of that is that what happens to Jerusalem often represents what happens to God's people, whether good or bad. And so it's used in that way in today's text as a representation of God's people, of what's happening to them. Zion is one of the hills in Jerusalem, or maybe sometimes the hilly area that Jerusalem is in. And so it has a similar theme. But in particular, Zion often refers to the spot and that hill where the temple was built, indicating the place to worship God. And so that things that are good or bad happening with Zion talk about God being worshipped and what's happening to those who are worshipping Him, whether they are worshipping Him or not, and whether the things are good or bad. So we might look around us today in our world, and we might ask the question, are there things going on in this world around us or in your own life that weigh heavily upon you? Maybe it's not so bad right now. Maybe at other times in your life it has been bad. Or maybe you know somebody that's going through a bad time right now. In the chapter before our text, leading up to our text today, the bad things that are experienced in life, in particular the suffering that is a result of living in a fallen, broken world where we rebel against God, is referred to as drinking the cup of God's wrath. It's imagined as drinking out of a cup that has God's wrath in it. That chapter is addressed to the people of Jerusalem, who have been drinking the cup of God's wrath. And now we might ask the question, why would they be drinking the cup of God's wrath? Well, the answer is because they've turned away from Him. Because they're worshiping false gods. They're worshiping themselves often. They're following in the footsteps of Adam and Eve, who said, God's word isn't good enough. I'm going to do it my own way. It's a trait that we've all inherited. And we inherit the drinking of this cup of God's wrath. Through Isaiah, God calls the people to wake up, and then He says He's got something for them. This cup of God's wrath that He's been talking about, He talks about it being emptied to the very last drop. The people are full of its contents, full of suffering, in the same way that they would be drunk if they had finished off a cup of wine or a lot of wine, staggering because of the effects of this cup. As God calls to the people, He says, there's no one to guide you. You're drinking of this cup of suffering. Who can comfort you with all that you're drinking? Ruin and destruction and famine and sword have come upon you. Who can console you? And we might at some times have that same thought. Is there consolation? Is there anyone who can do that? Now, it might be tempting sometimes to think, oh, if I just got my head above water, you know, I'm struggling right now, but if I got my head above water, if I just got this new job and things are going well, then I'll have peace in my life. If I can just get this relationship with my spouse or with a child or with a parent, if I can just get this relationship worked out, that's what I need, then life will be going well. If I can make it to retirement, then life will be going well. If we can make it through this winter, yeah, sometimes it might feel like that in winter. If we can make it through this winter, then life will be going well. We get to summer, things are good. If the Vikings don't lose the first game in the playoffs, life will be going well. You see how positive I am there with that one, you know. Just not the first one, right? Now, of course, that's a little bit lighthearted, but maybe the sentiment that we might have about the Vikings, especially if we're Vikings fans in particular then, it might actually be a good illustration for what is kind of at the back of our mind, even if we have those other thoughts, that things might go well if a certain thing happens. If only this thing happens, things are going to go well. But there's always something else that comes up. It's at the back of our minds. You know, and something else will come up after that, right? We know that. My financial troubles are taken care of, and now I've got relationship problems. I feel like things are going well with my kids, but I'm stressed out from being too busy, right? There's always something else. A good season, we might think, on the part of the Vikings, but now there's always the playoffs, right? They still can let us down. That's always lingering there. The thought is always at the back of our minds. But we might have this thought, but this time it's not going to turn out that way. Right? It's going to be different. This might illustrate a little bit about where our thoughts can go in this life. It's going to be different this time. This particular thing is actually going to result in a good life. Another description that God gives to Isaiah, another way of describing what people are going through is this. Your sons have fainted. Your children have fainted. They lie at the head of every street like antelope caught in a net. They are filled with the wrath of the Lord and the rebuke of our God. You might be thinking, this is just another way of describing this. It's affecting everybody. This affects everybody. In our gospel reading this morning, John talks about the light through whom all things are created. And then he says, it shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's not a very encouraging picture. He says later on that the light came into the world. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. we're getting these pictures painted. And I guess we understand them, don't we? Because even if we like to look on the positive side, and you know, I really do. I like to look on the positive side. If something bad happens, you might hear me say, and sometimes it's just in a joking way, but you might hear me say, well, at least such and such is the case, or at least something else didn't happen. You know, and often for me, it's just kind of in a sense of humor, because the positive thing that I'm looking at is simply to lighten the mood, because it's not even necessarily something that great. For example, if you're taking a glass out of the cupboard, and it's kind of crowded, and you bump another glass, and it falls, and it breaks, you know, and now you got to clean it up. And I might look at it like this. Well, at least the cupboard won't be as crowded anymore, right? You know, you can find a place for everything. You know, that's the kind of thing, you know, we might tend to want to do that, right? Just to think of something that's on the bright side. It doesn't actually make the situation better sometimes, but we want to look on the positive side. But here's the thing. Even if we like to look on the bright side and take the positive view of things, and even if the bright side, you know, actually is real, even if it is something good, it still turns out that there are still other things that come, right? And maybe sometimes you're just tired of finding the bright side of things. Or maybe you get to a point sometimes where there just doesn't seem to be any bright side of things. Maybe you don't have the hope that just the right job, or just the right conversation, or just the right weather, or just the right whatever it might be, will make things better. Maybe you just don't even have that hope anymore. Maybe that's run out. Because, you know, it's not true. It's not really going to make it all better. Well, wherever your thinking is on this, whether you're looking on the bright side, or whether you're tired of needing to look on the bright side, this word that comes to us is for you, and it's for me. God acknowledges that the punishment for rebellion against Him is terrible, painful. As we continue getting up to our text from this morning, He addresses His people as those who have been made drunk, but not with wine, meaning again the cup of suffering. And then He tells them to hear this news, hear this word. This is what God says. The one who defends His people. That's how he describes Himself. The one who defends His people. He says, I have taken it out of your hand. The cup that made you stagger. The goblet of my wrath. I've taken it away from you. You will never drink it again. I will put it into the hands of your tormentors. Meaning those who are bent on evil and really representing evil in this world. He's going to give the wrath to evil and destroy it. And He looks ahead to a time where things will be perfect, where things will be restored, where the weight of the burdens of this world will be taken away from us, where we will be freed as people who are free from slavery. God says that the people were sold for nothing, and also redeemed, but not with money. Those who oppose God mock. Now we're not persecuted in this country, but we are opposed. The message of the Bible is opposed. The good news of Jesus has its opposition in our culture in many different ways. But God works in the midst of that, bringing those who trust Him back to Him. As John, as we think back to what John was writing, as we had that responsive reading, as John is introducing the story of Jesus, he introduces Jesus as the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is God. He created the whole world. He created all that exists. He is the light that brings life to the world. But the world opposed Him. The world crucified Him. Many people rejected Him. But to all those who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Spiritual children of God in God's family. And this is what we celebrate on Christmas Day, on Christmas morning, as we're here together, and whatever other celebrations you have planned today or this week, celebrating Jesus' birth. The Word, who is true God, became flesh and lived for a while among us. Jesus, God, became human. And without money, He has redeemed us. He has done it with His blood. John says, "We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." They saw Him. We have not seen Him with our own eyes, but we have the eyewitnesses who have seen Him. This news is so much better than just wishful thinking, isn't it? If only this happens, life will be better. If only I can get a new job, or if I have better relationships, or if I have better health, life will be what I want it to be. I just need to get through this next season, and things will be better. We just need recovery from this illness, and things will be better. I just need to not be mad at my family all the time, and things will be better. But we know there's no hope in that. Even if, and I know you're going to think that I'm crazy for saying this, but even if the Vikings were to win the Super Bowl, you know, it really wouldn't be that meaningful. It wouldn't. Not in the grander scheme of things. We'd celebrate. We'd be excited about it. But it wouldn't have much impact. But here is something truly meaningful. God became human. Jesus lived His life as a human. He suffered like us. He redeemed us by His blood. He lived and died and rose again for us. And all of that is held in the little gift of a baby that we celebrate on Christmas morning. Now, that's good news. What are we going to do with that good news? We'll get it out. Now, don't fall off the chairs here, but I got a picture for you. Okay. Here's a picture of some feet. Very exciting, isn't it? On the left is Pastor Jose Ayanse in a small village. Huitzilan is the name, in Mexico. It's in the mountains. And on the right is my dad. They were working together to bring the good news of Jesus to people who needed to hear it. My mom, from time to time, would make a little photo album just to describe with pictures the work that they were doing in this part of Mexico when I was a kid. And this picture she put in one place, and along with it, the caption from our text today: "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news." And I've got one more picture here just so that you can see that there actually are some mountains there, you see, so it actually fits the description. You see them in. Well, there we go. That's the pictures I have for you. I don't have anything else. You know, hang on to the memory of those for whenever the next time might be that I have something up there. But beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Not because they look particularly good. I would say I've seen my dad's feet, but, he's not here to defend himself, so I won't say any more about that. But not because the feet are particularly wonderful to look at. Not even because they work particularly well, but because they serve to bring the person who speaks the words of truth and victory through Jesus for those who need to hear it. That's what makes the feet beautiful. It's those who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings. We get to do that. We get to do that. We get to tell people about that. People who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, the place of worship, "Your God reigns." It looked like you were destroyed. It looked like your life was destroyed. And, you know, the place of worship, we can say that, but even for us, in our own natures, in our sinful nature, it looked like we were destroyed. But God brings salvation. God reigns. And Isaiah goes on in the text this morning as we're getting into that. He says, listen, do you hear it? Think about the city waiting for news from the battle, from a battle. You know, what happened? Were our soldiers defeated? Or did they win the victory? Are we freed? Or are we going to be destroyed? Listen, he says, your watchmen lift their voices. They're returning in victory. He is returning in victory. The watchmen see it with their own eyes. And John gave witness that he saw it. The response is just what we do here. Any Sunday, maybe especially this Sunday, the city that was in ruins burst into songs of joy together. That's what we do when we sing. Your life might feel ruined, but you can burst into songs of joy. God is with you. Who will bring comfort? That's the question that God asked earlier. Who can bring comfort in the middle of all the suffering? God brings comfort in the form of a deposit now and something that we look forward to in the future. God eventually will make it clear to everyone what He has done. And everyone will be able to see the salvation that He brings. All the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. As I read our text again from Isaiah, this is simply the response to what God has done. But as we think about what came before this and what John said also, think about how this is not just to Jerusalem and to Zion, but this is for us now, today, as we celebrate Jesus' birth. And we might ask the question, what are we going to do with it? Do we have beautiful feet? Do we bring the good news? I hope so. Listen as I read this again. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Father, thank you for the salvation that you bring through Jesus, through His life and death and resurrection. Thank you that this is such good news. As we love to hear good news, but in our world, often, even when we hear good news, it's mixed with bad news, and the bad news keeps coming. But we know that in the midst of it, you have this good news that is there. And we look forward to the time when Jesus will come again and we will see this good news fully true, and that we will live it out and see it. And I ask that we will bring this news and declare it through our lives with everyone that we meet. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.